We're gonna. Last week we did Ruhu Rachum, which was kind of like the preamble to Maariv. So this week, what we're gonna take a look at is the very beginning of Maariv, and Maariv really begins with what's called Birchot Kriyat Shema, the blessings that we recite before Kriyat Shema, and this happens both in the morning and the evening. And what's really important to kind of appreciate is that there's what's called the unit of seven brachot. Sheva bayom hilal ticha is the expression of the Yerushalmi. Seven times a day I will praise you. And this is understood to mean that the seven blessings of Kriyat Shema, if you add up the three in the morning and the four in the evening, constitute this kind of a one unit. And we're not going to get into such depth tonight about this, but just really important for our general knowledge to know that the structure of the Birchot Kriyat Shema, of the blessings over Kriyat Shema, are parallel in the morning and the evening. So there are two blessings before Kriyat Shema in the morning, and in parallel to those we have two blessings before Kriyat Shema in the evening, and thematically they're similar. The first in the morning is parallel to the first in the evening. The second in the morning is parallel to the second in the evening. And then also after Kriyat Shema, there's a blessing in the morning and a blessing in the evening, and they deal with the same themes as well. So it's perfectly parallel. And then in the evening, there's one extra blessing, which we've alluded to in the past. That's the Shomer Yisrael. We discussed why there wasn't a problem of Smichas Gula L'Tzvila, why it wasn't considered an interruption. We spoke about that then, and we'll come back to that as well. So what's important to know, again, is that there's this thing called Birchos Kriyat Shema. They exist both in the morning and in the evening, and they're parallel. They're in dialogue with each other. And the themes are really the same, except we make kind of local adjustments for the morning and for the evening. So we're not going to do a comparative tonight, but just for your general knowledge, if you're ever curious at comparing the blessings over Kriyat Shema in the morning and the evening, you'll find that this is a general pattern. And then what's really interesting to do is to look at the adjustments that are made, what's more appropriate for the morning, what's more appropriate for the evening. So that's the background. Are there any questions in general about Birchot Kriyat Shema, or before we take a look at the first one in the evening, please, you know.
Yes. So you said they're parallel, so it's creation, Torah, Shema, then Yitziat Mitzrayim?
Yeah, that's very good.
Okay, I'm just guessing. And then the last one is Shomer Yisrael,
which is kind of
pain or protection.
Exactly, protection. That's what Dana just said is exactly correct. That's like the basic outline. And then there's a lot more subtlety, but that's really the important thing.
Okay.
Very good. Okay. Any other notes about general Birchot Kriyat Shema? Okay. So what we're going to do quickly is take a look. What we're going to do tonight is sort of circumscribed, but I think very hopefully enriching, which is if we take a look on page 256 in the Siddur, this is the first bracha of Maariv, and I just want to read it and discuss some of its themes. It's a very lyrical, beautiful blessing. And then I want to analyze it from a particular perspective. So this is page 256 in the beginning of Maariv. So, Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Asher Bidvaro Maariv Aravim, that through His word, through the word of Hashem, He was able to bring evening, Aravim, from the word Erev, evening. Bechokhma, through His wisdom, Poteach Sharim, He opened up the gate of evening. Uvitvuna, and through His insight, Mishana Itim, He changes times. So far the theme really has to do with the onset of night, recognizing that the day has changed, the night has come, and seeing God's wisdom in the cosmos, in creation. Umachalif et hazmanim, and He has changed the times. Day has evolved into night. Umsader et hakochavim b'mishmerotehem barakia kirtzono, and He fixes the stars in their place, in the firmament, in the rakia, as is His will. So here, what the bracha seems to focus on is that the various aspects of night, right, the stars, God is directing this magnificent, beautiful, you know, breathtaking show. You know, you can imagine a star-filled evening. And what we're saying is that, you know, this beautiful scene, Misader de Kochavim Bishmiroteim Barkiya Kirtzono, you know, what is, like, you know, seeing the stars on a perfectly, you know, black, you know, let's say you're not around the city, sky. It's a beautiful experience, and we see God's hand in that. Borei yom balayla, God is creator of both day and night. Golel or mipnei choshech, who carries away the light when it's time for darkness, and then choshech mipnei or. But he also carries away darkness when it's time for light. God is master of both day and night. Umavir yom, and he carries away the day. Umevi laila, and he brings the night. Umavdil, ben yomu ben laila, and he separates between day and night. Adonai tzvaot shemo. He is the master of legions. He is the Lord of hosts. So far, again, what we've really seen is the night comes. The night is distinct from the day. It's God's wisdom that's directing this magnificent show. Even the stars speak to God's power and dominion. So far, that's really the theme. And then we have this very curious line, almost like a non sequitur, and that's really what we're going to focus on. El Chai V'Kayam, the living and present God, Tamid Yimloch Aleinu, who shall always reign over us, Le'olam Va'ed, forever and ever. Baruch Atah Adonai Hamariv Arvim. Blessed is God who brings evening. So again, we have this kind of line which seemed to, I mean, of course we subscribe to it, El Chai V'Kayam Tamid Yimloch Aleinu Le'olam Va'ed, but, you know, where does this come from? That line doesn't seem to make any reference to night, to the stars, to the moon. It's just kind of what seems like this general statement, El Chai V'Kayam, the everlasting, eternal God, Tamid Yimloch Aleinu Le'olam Va'ed. I mean, it's always good, you know, that we always believe that God will reign eternal and supreme, but, you know, why here? Any thoughts about that? Strange addition.
Maybe, you know, we recognize that God is making night and that this is something that's deliberate and created and God's all-powerful, and the conclusion you should draw from all of this, you know, splendor and marveling at, you know, wow, God's making night is God is our king and he's going to rule over us. So it's kind of like not just, you know, you should see this and appreciate that God controls things, but that inference should inspire you to, you know, make God your king and your...
So I again, as usual, completely subscribe to everything that Dana said. And I think that is definitely the pshat. I think that's really the interpretation. What I'm going to try and show this evening is that there's also a very powerful metaphor in that line. But I think that certainly is the pshat, that you know, beholding this remarkable process, we take it for granted, I guess, because we're so inured to it, but that, you know, the end of day and the sunset followed by, you know, the all those amazing colors and the night, that, you know, daily, or should I say nightly, you know, experience, it should provoke a kind of sense of God's majesty and as Dana's saying, like a real Kabbalah of Ol Malchus Shamayim, accepting that, which is really what we're leading into in terms of Shema. So I think what Dana's really hitting on is that there's this aspect of Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shamayim that the onset of night, you know, will stimulate, and recognition of the wisdom and the sovereignty. Again, that's what the bracha was talking about. B'chachma poteach sha'arim u'b'tvuna mishana itim gods. Wisdom, you know, when the Rambam talks about developing fear and love of God, one of the things that the Rambam discusses in the Mishneh Torah is seeing God in creation, is that paying careful attention to the remarkable cosmos and both the details of God's creation and just its infinite magnitude inspires like this sense of awe. And you know, as the Rambam says, miyad nirta la'achorav, sort of taken aback, thrown back in your sense of troubling and awe of God's grandeur. And that's really what Dana is speaking to as well.
And there's brachot that you say, like if you see something really beautiful, you know, like you see the Kinneret, or you see
sure.
like, some pretty person or an ugly person or lightning, thunder, you know, you can just, there's all these brachot that you say spontaneously when you see something unusual, kind of like tying back nature to your connection with God, that you see something that strikes you and then you know, like I heard Mrs. Rosenzweig said, so first I met like that spontaneous feeling of, you know, inspiration that you get from nature or like good or bad news, you kind of like try to bring God back into that at some point.
100%.
So maybe like it's, or you know, if you're following my idea that it's like, you know, you see or you realize, wow, it's nighttime and that's all because God, you know, made it possible, and you know, you tie that inference back to God, that you say, oh, God is, you know, like he's El Chai V'Kayam, Tamidi Mochalino, he's going to, you know, rule over us.
1000%. I think that's in a very succinct way, I think Dana just kind of summed up the whole philosophy of brachos, which I think is exactly right. If you take a look here at the tour, this is in source one. The tour was Rabbeinu Yaakov ben Asher, and we're going to be meeting his family this evening. His father Asher was also known as the Rush. Some of you may have heard of him, Rabbeinu Asher. The Reish is for Rabbeinu, the Ash is for Asher. And he had a son, a number of scholarly sons, and one of them was the Tur, who was a very important precursor to the Shulchan Aruch, and that's for another time. But these are, you know, real giants of Halacha. And the Tur writes as follows, Ba'erev mivarech shtayim lefaneha u'shtayim la'achareha. In the evening, we have two blessings before Kriyat Shema and two afterwards. Harishona, the first bracha, Asher Bidvaro Mariv Aravim. That's the bracha we just read together. Vechotemet, and it finishes, Umavdil Ben Yom Uvein Laila. He who creates a distinction between day and night. Baruch Ata Hashem HaMariv Aravim. Blessed is Hashem who brings on evening. Zohi Nusach Sfarad. That was the Nusach in Spain. The Nusach Ashkenaz, but the Nusach that they said in Germany, and it should just be noted here, historically, the Rush moved, he actually fled, that's a more appropriate word, he fled from Germany to Spain. So he was able to bring all the learning of Ashkenaz and Sfarad together, and he passed that on to his son. V'nusach Ashkenaz umavdil ben yom uben laila Hashem tzvakos shemo el chai v'kayam tamidim ochalenu li'olam v'ed baruch ata Hashem hamariv aravim. So the very line which troubled us, el chai v'kayam tamidim ochalenu li'olam v'ed, that was in addition to Nusach Ashkenaz. In Sfarad, they didn't say it because it stuck out like a sore thumb. And of course, Dana justified, you know, on the pshat level that, you know, maybe it is that beholding evening itself and appreciating the changes in the day and appreciating nature in general should lead to this kind of Kabbalah Smalchus Shamayim. But even if that held the water in Ashkenaz, which it certainly did, in Sfarad, they said, no, just say, Umavdil ben Yom uvein Laila, Hashem Tzvakos Shemo, Baruch Ata Hashem, Hamariv Aravim. None of this El Chai V'Kayam. And not only that, but the Torah says, V'katav Achi, right, my brother, Harav Rabbeinu Yechiel. So the Yaakov, the Tur, his name Yaakov ben Asher. So the Tur's brother said, "You know what? V'yoter nachon nusach Sfarad. It actually makes more sense. Ki ein ze me'ein chatima samuch lechatima. There is a principle in brachot that the language that you use right before that you get to the end should be a perfect segue. That it should be perfectly thematic. So you shouldn't have any interruption. Therefore, he thinks Nusach Svarad makes more sense, because if the blessing is going to be HaMa'ariv Aravim, Baruch Ata Hashem HaMa'ariv Aravim, blessed are you Hashem, the one who brings on evening, then the line right before should speak directly to evening. It should speak directly to the topic at hand, which again is the onset of night. U'mavir yomu mevi layla, u'mavdil ben yomu ben layla. So, Rabbeinu Yechiel kind of throws up its hands and he says, he thinks that Nesach Svarad makes more sense in this regard, and doesn't necessarily justify Nesach Ashkenaz. However, if you take a look at source 2, this is the continuation of the tour. The tour quotes an answer from his father, Uli Yashev HaMinhag HayaOmer Adoni Avi. But to explain the minhag of Ashkenaz, my father used to say, now it's very important, you know, we should never take minhagim and nusachim lightly. They always reflect kind of the collected wisdom of the Jewish people. There's a halachic expression, minhag Yisrael, the custom and practice of the Jewish people, halachahi, it even has the stature of halacha, because we just assume that it reflects this deep spiritual wisdom of the Jewish people, and that we have to do our best to understand it. So, the Rush, right, this is his son, the Tur is the Rush's son writing, you know, and the brother of the Tur said, yeah, I would say Nusach Svarad makes more sense, but the Rush himself said, you know what, we have to try to justify, and again, that's where the family came from. The family came from Ashkenaz, so this is a little home cooking. We have to justify what we used to do back in the homeland. So he says, She'anu mit Paulin, you know what that line is? That we pray, Hashem yimloch li'olam va'ed. Right, that's the line. Elchai v'kayam, tamid yimloch aleinu li'olam va'ed. But what are we really doing? He's saying we're davening, it's a bakasha. V'kuyam ha'pasuk, right, this is really based on a verse, which we'll read together. V'ayala et erev yihya'or. There's a pasuk, which we'll read in its context, a very beautiful pasuk, which says, just when it was about to be night, v'haya le'et erev, just when night was about to fall, yihya or, there will be a burst of light, v'ya'ir lanu, and that will alight all the darkness for that. In other words, there's a pasuk which, you know, groups together this notion of Hashem yimloch li'olam va'ed with turning night into daytime. And this is why it's not a non-sequitur at all. It also, it flows beautifully. Because what we're talking about is that, again, God has dominion over day and night. Umavir yom umevi laila. That God moves away day and he brings night. Umavdil ben yom ben laila. Right, and as for our life right now, God makes a distinction between day and night. That is the work of Hashem Tzvakot. Ochai v'kayam. Right, but this is according to the Rush, it's Vila, you know, Tamidim Bo Chalenu Le'olam Ba'ed, when God, you know, fully reigns over us, then Baruch Ata Hashem, HaMariv Aravim, God will bring on evening. So what we have to do is really understand the context of what the Rush is talking about. It comes from this beautiful parak in Zechariah, which is from Trei Asar, and to try and understand what this connection is between the line of Elchai V'Kayam, Tamidim Bo Chalenu Le'olam Ba'ed, and this notion of Ma'ariv Aravim. And really, it's that's why I call the shir, the metaphor of HaMa'ariv Aravim, is that what we're going to develop is this, I think what the Rush was pointing to, or hinting at, and that which really emerges from the pasuk that he's citing in Zechariah. So, if you just take a look at the back, we'll read 9 psukim from this beautiful parak together. It's actually the Haftorah on Sukkis. Beautiful, beautiful perek from where this pasuk comes from. The pasuk that the Rush referred to, which has to do with God's dominion and its relationship to lightning, or not lightning, but making light, bringing light to the darkness. So, here we go in terms of this beautiful perek. Hine yom ba la'Hashem, there will be a day that comes unto Hashem, v'chulak shlalech b'kirbech, and there will be a division of all of your assets. Shlal is your assets, and what we're talking about is already a kind of division. That's a very important theme for this parak, as we'll see. There will be a day that comes, and all of the assets will be divided. It's Zechariah parak Yudalev. V'asafti et kol hagoyim el Yerushalayim l'milchama. There will be a war of all the nations in Jerusalem. V'nilkeda ha'ir. There will be battle in the city. V'nashasu ha'batim. And the homes will be destroyed. V'hanashim tishachavna. There will unfortunately be coercion against the women. V'yatzach atzi ha'ir bagola. And again, another halving, another splitting. Half the city will go into exile. However, v'yeter ha'am, the remainder of the nation, lo yikaret min ha'ir, will remain in the city. V'yatza Adonai, and God will come out at that moment, v'nocham bagoyim ha'hem, and he will wage war against those nations that are gathered in Jerusalem. Kiyom hilachamo, again, the image of daytime. Biyom krav, like the day on which he fights on the day of battle. Remember in Pasuk Aleph, hine yom ba. It's all about the daytime. Okay. V'amdu raglav bayom hahu, and on that day, again, this theme again and again of daytime. God's feet on that day will be firmly planted. Al har hazeitim, right, the Mount of Olives, Asher al pnei Yerushalayim mikedem, which is east of Jerusalem, as we know. V'nivka har hazeitim, and that very mountain, har hazeitim, will itself be split. Mechatzio mizracha v'yama, right, half of it will go east and half west. Gei gedolam ma'od, a huge valley will emerge from between the two halves of the mountain. Umash chatzi ahar tzafona, and then half of the mountain will proceed to move north. V'chatzio negba, and half will move south. So again, the assets are being split, and the nation is being split. Half the nation goes into galus, half the assets, and the mountain itself splits in half. Meanwhile, we keep on repeating the image of the Yom LaHashem, and on this day will be a day unto Hashem. Literally meaning, you know, daytime, as we'll see. V'nastem gei harai, ki yagia gei harim el atzal. The mountains will move this particular time and place. V'nastem kasher nastem bipnei hara'ash, bimei uziyah melech Yehuda. Okay, and there will be all this commotion. Uba Hashem elokai, and God himself will come, kol kedoshim yimach, with all of his holy ones. V'haya, Bayomahu, it will be on that day, and now everything comes together. Lo yihyeh or yikarot v'kipaon. Okay, so this is a challenging pasuk, but again, it will mean on that day there will be no light. The sources of light in the heavens will congeal. Okay, so it seems like there will not be any, you know, light, and when on this day of great commotion and war. But then, v'haya yom echad, hu yivada l'Hashem, on a special day that is known only to Hashem, known only unto Hashem, lo yom v'lo laila. It will not fit into the regular pattern of day and night. By the way, if you remember from the end of the Seder, we talked about that. Karev yom, in that song it says, asher lo yom v'lo laila. That's what we're talking about. It's a reference to Zechariah Yadalad, which defies the regular patterns of night and day. It's completely different. In what sense? This is the pasuk the Rush was quoting. V'haya le'et erev yihye or. It's eternal lightness. It's the light that breaks through. Even when it was supposed to become darkness, it's light. V'haya v'yom ha'hu yatz'u mayim chayim Yerushalayim. Water will run out of the city of Jerusalem. Chatziyam el hayam hakadmoni. Half of the water will run to the yam hakadmoni. V'chatziyam el yam ha'acharon will run to different sides and to different oceans. V'kayetu v'chorev yihyeh. So again, you see the water splitting. We started off with the shalal that was splitting in Pasuk Aleph. In Pasuk Bet we had this, the people that were splitting. In Pasuk Dalet we had the mountains that were splitting. And in Pasuk Chet, we have the water that's splitting. But in Pasuk Tet, the one thing that's not splitting is V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. God, on that day, will not be split. But what? He'll be unified. The whole world is splitting in half. The mountains, and the oceans, and the assets, and the people. But God is becoming unified. And how do we symbolize that? V'haya Hashem l'melech al kol ha'aretz. By Yom Ha'hu, on that day, the one thing that didn't split is God's name, and we symbolize that by saying it. That will be the day of what I call eternal day, when nighttime itself will be chased away. These divisions of day and night will break down. Just when it was about to become nighttime, we brought in this huge amount of light. It's eternal day. So, whereas everything else is being split, God's name alone is being unified. And we symbolize that by moving away from the dichotomy of day followed by night, light followed by darkness. But just as God's name is being unified, daytime is achieving, you know, sovereignty over the night, the victory of light over darkness. And that's the pasuk. We say it on Aleinu, you know, it's so familiar to us. Vayashem amelcha kol haaretz, bayom ahu, Yashem Echad Ushmocha. Now we appreciate it in a much deeper way, the context of that beautiful pasuk. The whole world is splitting in half, the seas and the people and the mountains, and God's name is being unified, and that's the victory of light over darkness. Remember, Vayomer Elokim Yihi Or, Vayihi Or, Vayar Elokim Et Ha'or Kitov. Light carries with it the goodness. Darkness is always a kind of the absence of that goodness. And so the victory of Hashem, Hashem's ultimate unification, Hashem's becoming one, l'melech al kol ha'aretz, the universal recognition of God's dominion, as Dana was speaking about before, what is our metaphor for that? Our metaphor for that is the victory of light over darkness. That's really what this parak says. So if you go back, I think that's really what the Rush may have had in mind. It certainly is, we're about to see what the Bach had in mind. But when he said v'hayala et erev yihya or, and that v'ya'ir lanu, and then Hashem will sort of shine, you know, shine on, as Pink Floyd said, shine on your crazy diamond, right? So that's why it's a non sequitur when we talk about el chai v'kayam tamidim ochalenu v'yalam va'ed. That if you understand the general Jewish concept that God's dominion is attached to these themes of day and night, and that it's really a tefillah that there will be a time when we're not any longer making a distinction between day and night, but there will be kind of this eternal sunshine, then it really flows beautifully. So if you just go back, just to read that now into the actual bracha, once we have an understanding of this, again, that according to the Navi Zechariah, that God's dominion, God's sovereignty, and the recognition of that is linked to this metaphor of light achieving victory over the darkness. So then watch what happens. I think it just reads unbelievably beautifully as this incredibly powerful metaphor. Bore yom v'layla, God creates day and night. Golel or mipnei choshech, He chases away the light when it's time for darkness, v'choshech mipnei or. And then he chases away the darkness when it's time for light. Right, this is the old dichotomy between day and night. U'ma'avir yom, u'mevi laila. Right, he chases away the day and he brings night. U'mavdil. And as for now, God really does enforce this distinction. Ben yom u'ben laila. U'mavdil ben yom u'ben laila. God, we live in the world where this dichotomy does exist. Bein yom uvein laila, bein or uvein choshech. Hashem tzvako shemo. That is the work of God who is in charge of all of the heavens. El chai v'kayam tamidim lo chalenu yolam va'ed. But even while we talk about that, we have this aspiration, this tefillah, that one day when God will reign supreme, you know, v'ayashem amalcha kol aretz, v'ayomahu yashem echad ushmo echad, what will happen? There will be no longer mavdil ben yom u ben laila. it's Bakasha, that everything that night symbolizes, the chaos and the confusion and the darkness that right now are very much a part of our reality, and God enforces that reality for now, there will be a point when all that is chased away. So this beautiful vision of Zechariah that's been integrated into our davening Maariv. And what this really speaks to is that the opening bracha of Maariv is not just a commentary, as it is on the pshat level, and it really is, about God's sovereignty and God's wisdom, and therefore we accept God upon us as king. But on the metaphorical level, it really goes much deeper than that, at least in Nusach Ashkenaz, that what it speaks to is that, yes, nighttime is here, and night has all these very fearsome associations, and right now we live in the world where day really does come to the end, and God does bring night. However, we still hold on dearly to that vision of Zechariah, and Vayah Bayomahu Yashem Echad Ushmo Echad, when there will no longer be that Mavdil Benyomu Veimlaila. And again, I just remind you that the power of that Perek is that in that Perek, everything is splitting except one thing. God's name, for the first time, is coming together. Everything that was one, that was unified, is split. Everything that was split comes together. So, what was split? God's name was metaphorically split. There wasn't... Go ahead.
How was God's name...
Oh, just in the sense that there was no universal recognition of God's name. God's name only becomes one when it's universally recognized. V'ayah b'yom ahu yeh Hashem echad u'shmo echad. V'ayah Hashem ha'melech al kol ha'aretz. So, all the things that were together, the mountains and the people and the assets and the waters, those were separated. And all the things that were split apart came together. And what were they? God's name. And the way that we symbolize that is also by day and night, which were this dichotomy that were split apart. It just turns into this eternal sunshine, this eternal day. V'hayav b'yom hahu. On that day, which is lo yom v'lo laila. It doesn't fit into the general dichotomy of day and night. So I think that's like a very beautiful perspective on, you know, the subtext of what I would call Hamariva Ravim, that it's not just a commentary on, you know, night follows day, and it's breathtaking and kochavim, but whatever darkness and fright nighttime brings along with it, you know, we still hold on to that vision of Zechariah, that all that will be chased away.
So it's interesting because, you know, we have these like messianic yearnings expressed in this, you know, El Havikayam non sequitur thing.
Right.
And now it makes more sense. But, like, you know, it seems like a scary day. You know, everything is split. The nation is split. Haraz 18 is split. We're fighting in a war. And then, you know, ironically, when everything's split and the world seems chaotic, that's when, you know, there isn't even day and night, like everything's crazy, but that's when there's universal recognition of God. It seems like we want universal recognition of God, but like that we don't want the nation split and part of 18 to split, and
right.
It seems like there's physical chaos, but that there's spiritual unity, and like, you know, when I was, you know, it's funny because like when you're a kid, you envision the Mashiach. No one knows the Mashiach is, and the Rambam says, don't think about it because you're not going to know. But like, you know, with that preface, like, you think, oh, the Mashiach is, you know, wonderful and lovely, and now it looks like, you know, war and chaos and horrible. So it's an interesting reference because like we want this day when things seem, like, it's hard to have a messianic yearning for like a parak where it seems, kind of,
I agree. I agree. This really does have to be. What Dana's really pointing out is that like this parak in Zechariah really has to be understood. You know, and it really deserves its own analysis and its own treatment. Just for my purposes tonight, I'm just interested in showing the chatzi, all the themes of having, and then the corresponding themes of unity, and how that plays into day and night, and how that would tie into Hamariv Aravim, but. Maybe one time we'll learn Zechariah. You know, and then we can really do more justice to Dana's important question, which is, you know, why this context? And my gut feeling is just that you'd have to really do Zacharia well to get a full sense of that. And I'm sorry, I can't give you a more helpful answer, you know, right now. But I might, it's my intuition that it would require a deeper analysis.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to read the words of the Bach, Rabbi Yoel Sirkis, who I think, I guess they could call him Rabbi Yoel Big Apple Sirkis.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Sirkis, S-I-R-K-E-S, even though he didn't say it in English, I'm sure. and I think he really makes this point explicitly. I think we've developed it in our own way, but I think the Bach has this idea beautifully. So he quotes from the Tur. Remember, the Tur quoted his father, the Rush, saying that he wanted to be miyashiv the minhag of why we have this non sequitur line el chai v'kayam. So the Bach writes as follows: V'lachin gam bibracha shalifnei kriyat shema shel arvis. In that blessing of hamariv aravim demaskirin ba, where we recall, we make mention of the fact demachlif es hazmanim, that God Himself is the one who changes the times. He has the capacity to chase away day and bring night, etc. Anu sholin gamkein, excuse me. We make the request, dekacha ya'avir hagalus shehu nimshal l'choshech v'lalayla, that Hashem should end the diaspora, the exile, which is compared to darkness and night. V'yavi ha-ge'ula, and he should speed along the redemption, shenim shalah la'or shal yom, which is compared to the light of day. V'galenu miyad malachim u'miyad aritzim, he's now quoting from the blessing after Kriyat Shema, emes v'emuna, which we'll deal with. V'ya'ir lanu b'ge'ula shleima be'or chadash, v'imloch aleinu li'olam va'ed, right, and that's the line of Yelchai v'kayam, tamidim loch aleinu li'olam va'ed, that's a request for God to chase away the darkness and turn it into light. Yoshev osanu od velo shelo yoshev osanu od bechoshech hagadlos ad olam ba'ed, that he should not leave us eternally in darkness. Elohu yisparach himlo chaleinu levado be'oro, right, that he should bring light for us. V'yachshech l'soneinu, and only darkness unto our enemies. So, you know, again, the Bach is really substantively making the exact same argument that we're really trying to make here based on the Nevuah of Zechariah, that the way the Bach is reading it is the same. He's saying, El Chai V'Kayam Tamidim El Chaleinu Li'olam Va'ed is, you know, fits in perfectly with the general theme of light and darkness here, because this is a request to end the Galus, which is compared to Choshech. So, the Rush in his way, and the Bach in his way, and, you know, we've developed in our own way based on the full presentation of Zechariah. What we're really all speaking to is the idea that there are two very different levels that that are encapsulated in this beautiful opening blessing. There's the Pshat level, which Dana spoke to, I think, so poignantly, which has to do with simply appreciating the beauty of nighttime, the divine wisdom that goes into mastery over nature. And that itself being a springboard for El Chai V'Kayam Tamidim El Chaleinu Li'olam Va'ed. And that's a very important level of recognition in its own right. And I would say that, you know, we should hold on to that interpretation, especially for those evenings which are, you know, where we're uplifted, so to speak, by the onset of night. And it's filled with a sense of intimacy and romance between ourselves and our Creator. And I think that Pshat level interpretation really speaks to those nights. But as for those nights when maybe we're feeling a little colder, maybe those dark winter nights, more afraid, and it's the nighttime of darkness and of fear, I think the second layer of interpretation will stand us in very good stead of El Chai V'Kayam Tamidim El Chaleinu Li'olam Va'ed, that this is a prayer for the time where there will be no darkness. Either the, you know, eschatological messianic time when there will be no darkness, you know, the Nevuah of Zechariah, or in a more prosaic sense, in our daily lives, that, you know, we look forward to a time where, you know, whatever the darkness is, whatever the issue is, professionally, family-wise, relationship-wise, whatever the case may be, we look forward to that time, you know, when it's, you know, eternal light, where we really are able to break through that impasse. And that's another layer of meaning here, that line speaks to, looking forward to a moment of much greater clarity. And I would even say, you know, that could be true in the religious sense as well, that if there's a moment of, you know, metaphorical religious darkness, that we look forward to a time when, you know, God's name will be that much more clear to us. You know, as the Navi spoke to, you know, what that really means in the end is that human beings will recognize God in their own lives. Sometimes the world is such that can be more challenging than at other times. And these are very, you know, powerful sentiments that we yearn for. So I think that's just a little bit of an introduction to Maariv through this bracha. I hope it enriches your understanding of this bracha and maybe sheds, pun intended, shed some light on this unusual formulation of El Chai V'Kayam Tamidim Ocholeinu L'Olam V'Ad. And so what we'll do next week is we'll turn our attention to the second bracha of, as Dana said, the bracha of Torah of Abba Solam and Kiyem Chayenu Berachemenu, and start to touch on some of those themes as well. Okay.
Thank you.